Okay, so now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Carol. She has 45 years and one day sober today.
Okay, can you hear me?
But,
thank you, because I don't do well with these things. I haven't done one of those for a long time. My name is Carol, and I'm an alcoholic. Like you said, I turned 45 yesterday. I turned 80 last month, so I've been sober more than half of my life. I got here at 35, falling down drunk. I started drinking at 16, and I got here at 35, and I can tell you a lot of things about how I drank, but if you were the kind of alcoholic I am, you did things you would rather not have remembered. It's one of the joys of being a blackout drunk. You don't remember all the things you did. People will tell you, like I say, that's why I don't go on Facebook, because I'm not having some SOB from 50 years ago telling them I owe them something. Ain't gonna do it. Don't know if that's right or wrong, but I figured I've cleaned up all the wreckage I know of because you people told me I had to. I understand the fact that this program is designed for people like us who cannot manage their alcohol, could not, never could. I used to go out in the evenings and I'd drink milk and eat chili beans in order to stay sober. And all I did was throw up and poop a lot, and then, you know, but I still got drunk. So, and I tried it every time. I was trying, and don't drink water in the morning or you'll start out all over again. You get home and you park your car, and in the morning you get up and see if there's any dents or blood or anything like that. Not attractive. Like I said, I was a bar room drunk, and I started out in nice places in Fresno, the Hacienda, the Town and Country, the Desert Inn. The Hacienda is a place for wounded women. The Desert Inn is now Cap Recovery, and the Town and Country is for homeless people. So, you know, those places kind of slid after I stopped drinking. It's all my fault. I take personal responsibility for that, but because I was a good drunk. I drank a lot. I could hold my liquor a lot. I stopped throwing up when I was 22 in Spain, because I got so drunk that it took me 3 days to stop throwing up. And I think that's when my body told me, look, you dummy, you can't take this stuff, it's poison to you. But you don't seem to care, so I'm not going to make you throw up anymore. And I never threw up again until I got sober. That is just not right. I managed to get to this program. I still had a job. I had a car. Those old guys in the meetings used to say, we spill more alcohol than you drank. And I used to say, well, if you hadn't spilled so much, you would have got here sooner. I never spilled drinks. I never did. I was diligent about keeping my alcohol in my glass or in my body or something. And when I got to this program, you people told me I had to do a few different things, like change everything I knew how to do. I know the program is basically trust God, clean house, and work with others. And that's the watered down or melted down version of this program, because the first three steps tells me what I am. I'm a drunk. My life is unmanageable. I'm nuttier than a fruitcake. I used to say one that says, restore you to sanity, and I'm thinking, don't you have to be sane once to be restored? Because I don't think I was ever sane. I think I was a lunatic. I think I needed a drink at first grade, or kindergarten, when I came out of the womb. Somebody smacked me on the butt and I got a resentment right away and I needed a drink. Never got it. So when I got the stuff, it worked for me for a long time, and then it stopped working for me. And I remember sitting on my bed when I was about done, and I said, God, either help me or let me die, and I really don't care which. I don't care. And shortly thereafter, I came to this program. Well, I fell in lust. I heard a speaker from AA, and he was tall and dark and handsome. And I thought, I want to be what he is. I think my motives were not really true, but I went with it. And I got involved with the group he ran with. Like I could say my motives suck, but I didn't care. And I learned how to socialize with other drunks without taking a drink. I learned how to dance. I learned how to do a few other things, sober and awake. And I learned to find a higher power. I was raised as a Pentecostal. I got laid hands on it, dipped, and spoken tongues over, and I'm sitting there going, I'm going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. You know, when you belong to a religion like that, you're always going to hell. And I figured at 16, I was doomed. And I sat in church and said, God, if you're up there, strike me dead. If you're not, fuck off. Oop, I wasn't going to say that. Jeez, don't take it personal. Whew. Anyway, he didn't, so I didn't, and we went from there. And I was born in Fresno, raised in Fresno, got drunk in Fresno, got sober in Fresno. I'm very limited in my abilities to move. I've been to a lot of different countries. I've drunk through a lot of them, and I got to go sober to a lot of them because I love traveling. And at 21, I was in an automobile accident, got a lot of insurance money. My sister and I took off for Europe, drank my way through there. I was 22 before I got laid. I mean, that's sad. I thought I was going to die a virgin. Whew. So anyway, that didn't happen either. But they all make fun of me because I said I got laid on a beach in Barcelona, and I got first thing I did was get sand in my hoo-hoo, and I hated it. You know, I thought, is that it? I mean, then I really had to get drunk to get do stuff. And I did. And when I got tired of doing that sort of thing, I tried to get sober. I tried not to drink because I knew it wasn't good for me, but I didn't know how. A good alcoholic, every time, I'm only going to have two. Or I'm not going to drink tonight. And it never worked. Because I don't know how not to drink. I didn't know how not to drink. And when I came to you people, they said, they've got certain things you need to do. Number one, you have to admit what you are. And it took me a few years into sobriety to actually tell the truth about my drinking. Because I, you know, glamorized it a tid, fluffed it up a little bit. I used to talk about getting beat up in bars. I got hit by a 90-pound twit because she was not too bright. And I made some unkind remark, and she took it personally. And she took my glasses off and punched me. So from then on, I was beat up in bars. And then I had to clean that up after a while. I used to tell people I was a slut. And they asked me what I did, and I told them, they said, you're a slut. Okay. You know, when you're drinking, it really doesn't matter. I don't care what you think of me. And when I got sober, I cared what you thought of me, and I cared what I thought of me, and I didn't think much of myself. And I was fortunate enough to get with a group of people who ran together. We were like a wolf pack. And with one got low, the rest of them would pull them along. And I think that's one of the joys of sobriety, is to be able to run in a pack. And when the new people come, we circle around them and protect them if they're willing. I know for me, the program would not work if I didn't have a higher power. And it took me, I don't know how long, it just took me a while to accept the fact that I had one, number one. Somebody said, get Kula, the thunder god of the north, or the doorknob, or something. I said, I'm not giving my will and my life over to a doorknob. That thing's hit me in the ass so many times, I'm not doing it. So I, you know, just kind of followed along with what you guys did. And kind of, my first sponsor knew that I didn't know how to pray, because all I could think of was, now I lay me down to sleep, and that was it. So she let me read the 24-hour book for a year. She didn't believe in it, but she let me read it because she thought that maybe I would learn how to have some spiritual thought in the morning and at night, and learn how to pray, and you learn how to use the words. And I learned how to use the words like most of us do. You stick around long enough, you get the verbiage. But what I didn't know how to do was to live what you people were telling me to live, right out of the big book. I don't know any other way to get sober for me except the directions out of the big book that say this is precisely what I have to do. There's no wiggle room there. I can't afford to play patty cake with this program. I need to do what you need to do. I need to go where you guys go. I need to listen to you. I need to pick up my butt and get it wherever I needed to go. I have been blessed in my sobriety. I've lost a lot of people in sobriety. I've loved a lot of people. And I know my higher power gives me some people for a very long time and some people for a very short time. And I'm blessed for every one of them. I'm always sad when somebody comes and they really need the program, but they're not willing to do what it takes to stay sober. I know that there's lots of people that need the program, and there's a lot of people that want the program, but the only ones that seem to stay are the ones that are willing to work the program. I have to work the steps on a daily basis. They have to become like automatic with me. When I get pissed at you, I have to go and look and say, okay, what's my part in this? I don't want to tell you my part in it, because if you'd shape up, I'd be okay. And then you shape up, but I'm still screwed. So, you know, that didn't work. So I had to learn, like the program tells me, I accept the fact that I'm alcoholic. I accept the fact that I need a brain rescheduling, if you will. I need to have some kind of a higher power in my life, even if I don't know what it is yet. And then 4 through 9 tell me precisely who and what I am and what I have done and what I need to do better. 4th and 5th are, you know, just dumping garbage. 6 and 7 are those such a small little paragraphs, but they're so vital, because I didn't know I had shortcomings or character defects. I just thought it was life sucked with sharp teeth and I didn't know what to do with it. And I made that list, and my sponsor said, you got to put the people you harmed, not the ones that you think harms you. And some of the people that I had harmed were not on my 4th and 5th, because they hadn't done anything to me. I had done it to them, and I had to recognize that, and I had to clean it up. I still do. I would like to say at 45 years, I have this all knocked, and I'm just so hip, slick, and cool, I can hardly stand myself. But anybody who knows me knows I'm a crazy bitch. I have a T-shirt that says, I'm not a bitch, I'm the bitch, and it's Miss Bitch to you. And I love wearing that to AA meetings. I also have one that I can't wear because it says polite as fuck. And I... AA meetings are in churches, and what are you going to do? I can't wear that there. I did one day, and I spent the whole time with my hand over my lap so that nobody could see what I had done. Because you don't remember that you've got it on. I'm not the brightest bulb in the bunch. So anyway, I have learned over the years how to accept that I am the best Carol I've ever been today. I can always do better with the help of my higher power. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I sponsor people. I am involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was in early sobriety, I'd see people with long-time sobriety say, well, I've been there, done that. I just don't have time to do that such stuff anymore. And sometimes we lost them because they went back out or they just faded away. I don't want to do that. I'm going to be there giving you guys grief till the day I die. I think I'm sliding out of here saying, God, did if I did that, didn't do it. Let's do it one more time. Because I need to know that I am Carol, alcoholic, with bad attitudes sometimes, with stupid thoughts. Sometimes, well, in bars they used to call me Zorro because I have kind of a tacky mouth. I know that's hard for you to believe right now, but... I was mean spirited, and I could go for the throat, and I knew how to get you. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was still doing it. I just, you know, it was part of the game. And I found that alcoholics are wusses, and they get their feelings hurt. And then you have to go say, I'm sorry, I apologize, I didn't mean to do that. And it's just like, my boyfriend was just awful. I mean, he would just get so sensitive, and then... I had to suck up to him like a big dog because he just was such a pussy. so anyway, I am grateful I stuck around and learned some of the lessons, because I don't have to clean that up too often anymore. I have not had to make an amends to anybody for a while. I can't remember, which is okay. I'm sure I'll do it again. Because like I say, I have diarrhea of the mouth and constipation in the brain, and if they come together, it's like, oh God, I did it again. And people will look. You know, you get the look from other alcoholics when you've done something stupid. You know, the look. It's like parents, they give you the look when you're a teenager and you're doing everything wrong. You just know the look, and you know, oh God, what did I do? I always tell people, if I have offended you somehow, please let me know, because I get blinded by my own stupidity, and I don't know that I need to clean up something with you. There are some cases I know instantly, and sometimes I'm willing to pay the price for being a bitch, and I will do it, and then I'll clean it up later. Price is always worse than I think it is, though. But I've learned for me that I have to stay connected with you people. People say, well, I go to a lot of meetings and whatever. Meetings to me are what I need to do to be there for the newcomer who sees that people can stay sober for more than 5 minutes or 10 days or 30 years. I go to meetings because I get fed, but I also go to meetings so that the people I know who know me know that you can stay sober a long time and still be a crazy bitch. I mean, I'm still sober. I don't know how some days. I know that my higher power is very kind and loving. The higher power I have today loves me, forgives me, and forgets. I can love you, I can forgive you, but sometimes I have a real hard time forgetting. I used to be able to tell you what you did to me 30 years ago verbatim. When I was drinking, I could tell everybody what they had done to me, every single word. I frequently forgot what I said, but I always remembered what you said. So I had to redo that too. In fact, I had to redo everything in my life. I am an old maid, if you will. I have never been married. I've never had any children. I had nephews, one that's passed and one that's not. And I was a big part of their lives when I was growing up and being sober. Growing up in the program and being sober. I have people in the program who have decided I'm their AA mother. I have Big Keith. He's about this tall, and he's a big black man, and he's just gorgeous, and he thinks I'm his mother. And I said, I'll be your mother, but I'm not giving you any money. I'll be anybody's mother as long as I don't have to give them any money. And so far, it's been good. And I am grateful that one thing I love about sobriety is the fact that I'm an old broad. And I know so many young people and so many diverse people, all ethnic groups, all shapes and sizes, all sexuality, all that stuff. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was drinking, I was a little narrow and I was a little judgmental, a whole lot judgmental. I still am, but I have to kind of cool that part. But I can judge in my head. I just hopefully don't say anything. I've learned over the years that if you just keep your mouth shut, you don't have to clean up crap. And it took me a long time to learn that one. I have learned many, many things in sobriety. I've learned that if I go to a meeting and hear somebody talking about something that I've experienced, I can share that experience. We all have opinions. We all do. I have an opinion about everything. But what I don't have is experience in a lot of things. And the things I do have experience in, I share with those people that maybe need it. I think every bad thing that's happened to me in sobriety was a gift so that someday I would be able to share it with somebody who's going through the same thing, because they did the like thing to me. When I got here, I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to play. I didn't, you know, Father Tom always said there, we should live a little, laugh a little, play a little. And when I do all those things, my life gets better. But what are you doing? You're doing fingers at me. Anyway, if you want to flip me off, go ahead. I don't mind. I know that finger really well. I have learned, however, I have some friends that are deaf and they have sign language, and I've learned some dirty words in sign language, which is marvelous for flipping people off and they don't know what you're doing, because nowadays they shoot your ass, so I have to be very careful about that. If you ever want to know, oh shit, that's okay, asshole, just in case you want to know. And it's a really big asshole if you go that way. These are things you learn in sobriety. You stick around, you're going to learn all kinds of stuff you didn't know you were going to learn. And some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. But what I need to stick for me is what's in the pages of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The steps, the traditions, all the service stuff. I've tried it all. I've been in just about every part of I tried general service. I'm not good at that. I get bored and fall asleep a lot, so I don't do that anymore. But I sponsor people, and I take a secretaryship every once in a while in my home group. I was a treasurer for 4 years. Now I'm the chair of the thing almost through in January, praise God. Because I don't like having to push people around for real. I mean, poking fun is one thing. I get grass tonight. He and I have been fighting all evening long. He brought me some lovely flowers over there, but they don't match my lovely outfit. So, you know, don't spoil the look. Jeez. But the fun thing about sobriety and getting to know people with time is you can play. You can have fun with each other. We poke fun at each other. No, but most generally, we don't take it personally. I don't know if that's a gift or not, but for me, it is. I have a wicked mind, and I just keep saying things. And there are certain people I can play that game with, and some people I can't. So the sensitive ones I have to be very careful with, because I really don't want to hurt people anymore. I used to. I used to thrive on it. And when I got sober and realized that it was hurting people that I cared about, I asked my higher power again, help me with this situation. I was telling them I was going to try, because it's being taped, I was going to try not to use the F word. Now that I screwed that right up out the bat, but I haven't had too many of them. I spoke in Tulare a month or two ago, and I didn't know it was being taped, and I was on such a roll. My mouth just would not quit. And by toward the end, I says, what's this little black thing here? That's taping. I'm going, oh, God, don't make any tapes on this one, please, or they're going to get me. I speak a lot of different places just because I'm old and sober. You know, if you don't drink and you don't die, you get to be an old timer. What I do get being an old timer is a lot of experience with people who have a hard time with this program. And it's not an easy program. It says it's a simple program. And simple is one thing, easy is not. Because I have to work some days really hard at being kind and loving and caring. The book says we have to be that. And sometimes I don't want to. That's a joy of sobriety, is sometimes I don't want to do a lot of things, but ultimately I have to if I want to stay sober, if I want to live in my own skin with some degree of peace. I was talking to my friend. We read our prayer and meditation every morning, and we were talking about in the thing we were reading, it said something about slamming doors and getting angry, and I thought, I couldn't remember the last time I slammed doors, but then he reminded me when a friend of his used my computer and screwed it up. And I was effing this and effing that, slamming doors and cussing up a storm, and he's going out the front door laughing his ass off, and I'm going, that was my computer, and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know about you, if I don't know how to fix something and I don't know somebody who can, I get frustrated, and then I get mean-spirited, and then I want to kill somebody, and I don't want to go to prison, so I don't. And I have to talk to my sponsor about it. I have to do the read it, write it, talk it, pray it. Those things are not things I want to do. I'd rather just, you know, slide through it and forget it. But my higher power won't let me. My higher power just keeps poking. I don't know about yours, but when I do something really stupid, you get this little, or you wake up in the middle of the night and it's right there. Sometimes I wake up in the morning with the vulture sitting on my bed, and he's up there and he's going, what trouble are we going to get into today? And if I'm at least a little bit spiritually fit, I say thank you for sharing and go away. If I'm in not a good mood, I'm saying, okay, let's go make some trouble, see what we can get into. I used to love the stir of the shit, just you. And then you guys would sweat and get all torn apart, and then I'd say, ha ha, I gotcha. I have a friend I know, we're politically opposites, and every time they had some political crap on the email, I'd send it to him, and he'd bite every time, and he'd get all ruffled up and give me all this worded, he's in the program too, all this crap to back at me, and I'm going, gotcha. So I stopped doing that because it was just so mean-spirited, and I was enjoying it way too much. I say, when I'm doing something crappy and I'm enjoying it, there's something wrong with me, not you. And I have to clean up my side of the street. And it's going to always be that way. It's always going to have to be me who does the cleaning. I'm always going to have to look at me and, you know, point one finger out. You got three coming back. So I started pointing like this. Didn't work. Still comes back to me, because I'm the one that has to clean up my side of the street, and I have to use the steps and the program and the prayers and the suggestions and all that. I love the word suggestion. It's a suggested program. And like they say, you know, you're jumping out of the airplane and they suggest you pull the ripcord. You don't have to. But if you don't, you're going to splat all over the ground. Well, if I don't do the suggested things from this program, I'm going to splat all over the ground. And I have been having such a good time living life for all these years that I don't want to splat. I don't want to go out not caring about you and not caring about me. I didn't know how to care about people when I got here, and you people taught me that. I didn't know how to laugh and enjoy myself, and you taught me how to do that. I didn't know how to walk a straight line, and you taught me that. I have learned everything I know today in my life. I learned from the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, because you are my example of how the program works. You are the example of that higher power that I didn't trust and I didn't want, but I had to have. I am a believer that if I don't have some kind of a higher power in my life, whatever I want to call it, I'm doomed. I heard somebody say the other day that they had somebody that they sponsored who couldn't fathom a higher power. And she said, well, pray to mine then until you can find one. And sometimes I've had to pray to yours because I can't find mine. If I'm in a bad spot and I'm not willing to do the footwork, then I'm not praying too well. I have learned to just keep on praying, whether I believe it or not. That's what they have, like the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, all those prayers in the book that can help me. And I memorize most of them, but some days I can't think. And I have to do some writing, and I have to do some talking to my sponsor, and I have to do some talking to people I sponsor. And we share our strength, and we share our weakness. And I think that is something I didn't know I was going to get. I get weak, and I have strength around me. You get weak, and we're there for you with it, strength for you. Because that, to me, is what the program is all about, is that we support one another. We hold each other. This should be a safe place for all alcoholics. It should be. It's not always. We have our predators like everybody else. But I'm one of those bitchy old broads that say, you know, if she's mine, you leave her alone. I don't care how horny you are, you leave her alone. And newcomers should not have to deal with that, but they do. And so that, I think it's up to people like me who don't give a crap if I hurt your little feelings because you're hitting on the girls or the girls are hitting on the guys. Knock that crap off. Do it later when you're sober enough to know what you're doing. I like I said, had a boyfriend for 20 years, and when he died, everybody says, you're going to get another fella? And I said, it took me 15 years to straighten his ass out. I ain't doing it again. By that time, I went, well, you know, you guys maybe don't do that. But like I say, I'm one of those people. I haven't had a drink for 45 years. I haven't had a cigarette for 39 years. And I haven't gotten laid for 30. I still eat sugar, however. I mean, yeah, no, they're not taking that one away from me. Over where? You want? You're going to help me? I went to Turks and Caicos to an AA function, and I had a kid 50 years. This was about 2 years ago, and he was 50 years old, and he was offering to help me with the 30-year thing, and I said, I don't want to quit when I'm on a roll. You know, I'm not good with that stuff. And it's okay because, you know, when you're celibate, life is a whole lot easier. You don't have to look for him coming through the door. I don't know how long I went through him, looking him going through the door. The guy that got me here was one I was looking at, and it didn't last long. It didn't happen, actually. I fantasized about that for a while, but it didn't happen, so... But I realize today that my life is good. My life is fun. My life is as much fun as I want to have. I can have my times at home alone. I like being alone, but I like being with people. I just don't want to be with people all the time or be alone all the time. I don't do anything all the time anymore except not drink. That's the one thing I have not screwed up. About everything else in my life, I've screwed up one time or another. But I haven't had to pick up a drink. And that's not because I'm special. It's because I stuck to you people like leeches. And I walked where you walked. And they used to drag me along, you know, come on, you dumb, sick thing. We'll take you where we're going. And I said, okay. The first time somebody went out and got drunk, I was shocked. I thought, once you got here, that was it. You couldn't drink again. Thank God I didn't know that you could go drink. I didn't know you could argue with your sponsor. I was so scared of Annette, I just, if she said jump, I wouldn't even bother to say how high. I just hang there until she told me to come down. And I'm grateful for that, because she was one of the best people I could have had in my life as a newcomer. Because they used to call her Granny Grunch, Dragon Lady, Mother Superior. She had so many names. And she'd drag us everywhere she went. We'd go up to Oakhurst on Sundays and eat out and take the program to the Aborigine in the mountains because we thought we were so smart. You know, I don't know about you, but in early sobriety, we're just so smart. And we have so much wisdom that we want to share with you. And you're sitting there going, don't be talking to me. And we managed to get through it all. I managed to get through the Miss AA period, the workaholic period, the just I'm going to do everything for everybody whether they want me to or not period. And, you know, you go through in and out now and again. I try really hard not to tell you how to live your life. If you ask my opinion, I will give it. If you want my knowledge of what I have had to go through, I will give you that. I will not tell you what to do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a shrink. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a banker. I'm none of those things. I'm just one drunk talking to the other, and you guys were reading about that. There is nothing like working with another alcoholic. There is nothing like being able to put a hand out and somebody takes it, and you watch them go from the hair over their face so you can't see them, or the ball caps that are, you know, they have a nose, but that's about it. And then all of a sudden the hair goes back or the cap comes off and they look you in the eye and there's something there. There's a spark there. And you just want to fan that fire till it gets built up big so that they don't have to run away, because I can only speak for myself, but I tend to be a runner. Things get tough, I run. Things I don't like, I run. I run and hide, or I lie, cheat, and steal, or do whatever I have to do. And you people taught me, don't do that. You don't have to do that. You never have to take another drink if you don't want to. You don't ever have to take a drink, even if you do want to, if you stick with us, if you walk with us, if you let us drag you along. I got drugged by a lot of people. I have a little sticker on my refrigerator that says, let go or be dragged. And I had to learn to let go. But I also have learned to get dragged now and again. Most of us, I cannot speak for everybody else, but most of the people I know don't get here easy. I have a suspicion if you come in and bebopping around and everything's wonderful and you're just great and everything, I think you're probably on drugs. Not judging, just reporting. And because most of us didn't come in here on a winning streak. I didn't. And I have really not seen a whole lot of people that have. But if I'm willing to walk with you people and go where you go and do what you do, I don't have to I don't have to drink again. I'm living proof that you can stay sober a long time, be old and grumpy and still stay sober, and do all kinds of things and still stay sober. So if you're newer, fairly new, and you don't know what to do, just find on somebody who's got a little bit more time than you and follow them. Do what they do. Go where they go. It will work. It has. There's a lot of people in this room that I know it has worked for. They stayed sober through hard stuff, death, losses, all kinds of stuff. Sicknesses. I have one of the ladies I sponsor. Her husband got sick one day, and 39 days later he was dead. And he 26 years sober, and it was just that quick. So we never know when we're going to lose somebody or how. He was just sick. But I don't want to go out drunk. I not only want to die sober, I want to live sober. And you people teach me how to do it every single day. So if you're new or fairly new, walk with us, stay with us, and we'll help you because we love you, because we love ourselves now. Thank you.